The boys looked at the time. It was already 9 o'clock. The boys went outside. There were no classes, and they kept watching the road. Skeeter and the rest of the boys that had chores to do had to go down and feed the horses and the livestock. The headmaster came forward finally in the middle of the campus. He said, "Boys," he said, "it's now 10 o'clock. I want you to get whatever property is yours and that belongs to the school and start putting it on the other side of the road. Get all your luggage." He says, "I hate to tell you this, but I'm afraid Mr. Woodworth won't be back." He says, "So let's get off the property." The boys began to move the luggage, Skeeter and Jackie and Mike and all the boys from all the different dormitories were carrying the luggage across the street, across the road. And it was a sad sight to see all the boys dragging their last possessions. Some of the horses were brought over to a field on the other side in an enclosure. And finally, when the headmaster looked at his watch, it was already 11:30. He saw someone coming down the road. And as it got closer, he realized it was Mr. Waverly in his brand new buggy. As he pulled into the drive, he stopped. He stepped down with his tall silk hat. "Well, I see that you obeyed my order." He says, "I intend to keep my promise. If I catch anybody on this property after 12 o'clock, they will be prosecuted." "Yes, Mr. Waverly, we got your notice and the boys are all evacuated except a few. We have a few more things, but we will be evacuated by that time." He says, "Well," he says, "now you understand, I hate to do this to you. It breaks my heart." He says, "I carried your mortgage for many years, but finally a man needs his money, and when you need your money, you need your money, and I apologize for that." He says, "Yes, I'm sure that's right, Mr. Waverly." He looked around. He says, "Where's Mr. Woodworth?" "Oh, he's not here." "Huh, he's a smart man. He already left, huh?" He said, "Well, I'm not that bad of a man." He said, "I wouldn't get that rough with him." He says, "He didn't have to leave." The headmaster looked at him in the eye. He says, "You know, Mr. Waverly, he didn't leave because he's afraid of you. He said, he might still have a little surprise for you." "A little surprise?" "Yes, he just might do that." "Well, you know, I kind of enjoy surprises." He says, I like surprises. "If this happens to turn out like I think it will, Mr. Waverly, this is one surprise you won't like." "Oh, now come. He says, "You have 15 minutes to get off my property." The headmaster looked around. He said, "All right, boys." He said, "Everybody off the property." And slowly the last boys began to drag their suitcases across the road. The headmaster kept looking at his time. So did Mr. Waverly. And finally the two of them met for the last time, looked at their watches. They were exactly on the dot. "Well, it seems that our watches are correct." He said, "That's good." He says, "You have exactly 3 minutes and 51 seconds. And I may suggest that you get off my property now." The headmaster looked up. He said, "It's not yours yet. Remember, I have 3 minutes left." He said, "Well, enjoy your 3 minutes." He says, "I intend to." While they were talking down the road, Skeeter saw a cloud of dust. "Hey," he said, "there's a cyclone coming." He said, "Look." The boy said, "That's no cyclone." He said, that's somebody on horseback." Finally, the boys began to run down the road. He said, "Hey." He said, "It's Mr. Woodworth." He said, "It's Mr. Woodworth." And the boys began to yell and scream, "It's Mr. Woodworth." And finally, Mr. Waver looked at his watch. He says, "You have 1 minute left." About that time, Mr. Woodworth came in a cloud of dust, pulled the reins back and slid all four feet on his horse, jumped off. He says, "How much time?" The headmaster grabbed him and said, "Get in there fast." And he gave him a shove. He rushed into the place. Mr. Waverly looked up. He says, "Mr. Woodworth, you're back. Get off my property." He says, "It's not your property yet." He said, "I've got exactly 30 seconds. He reached into a bag and pulled out $6,000, slapped it in the palm of Mr. Waverly's hand. He said, there, paid in full. What is this? He said, what'd you do, rob a bank? He says, you're going to be put in jail for this. He says, no, we didn't rob a bank. He said, may I have the mortgage, please? He said, the mortgage. Mr. Woodward looked back. He said, boys, it's your property. Come on back. They all start running, and they circle around the buggy. Now, Mr. Waverly, the mortgage. Well, I didn't. The mortgage. Yes, sir. He pulled it out. He says, mark it, paid in full. Well, this is highly irregular. I said, no, it isn't. He says, you got the money before 12 o'clock. I think it's quite legal. Sign. The boys started crowding up against the buggy. Sign. He looked at the boys glaring at him. All right. He said, you're just lucky. He says, now, Mr. Waverly, you're trespassing on private property. And I'm afraid we're going to have to arrest you if you don't get off fast. Hugo said, just a minute. He got a bunch of the boys together. This Bowie and Brandface and Mike and the rest of them. He says, look. Mr. Woodward kept listening, and all he could hear is, and then they start laughing. Boys, what's up? Oh, nothing, Mr. Woodward. We wouldn't do anything bad. You know that. Of course not. They circled around Mr. Waverly's buggy, and each boy, as he leaned up against the wheel, took the tap off of the wheel. And finally, when they took all the taps off the wheels, Hugo Barnes went up to Mr. Waverly with his big bare muscles showing on his short sleeves. He looked at him, he says, now, Mr. Waverly, you're on private property. I'm going to give you exactly 30 seconds to get this rig off the property, or we're going to break every bone in your body. And that's not a nice way to talk. He said, oh, that's not a nice way. Wait till you hear the bones cracking. All right, giddy up. And he turned the buggy around, and as he went around the first turn, the front wheel came off. And of course, all the boys were laughing. He looked down. Hugo yelled. He says, you have only a few more seconds, but my wheel. He says, well, that's your wheel, not mine. He said, giddy up. And as he started to go down the drive, the back wheel came off. And he stopped and looked. Hugo said, just about 10 more seconds. Giddy up. And finally, the other back wheel came off. And now he had only one wheel and dragging on the axle. Hugo Barnes says, boys, get him. And as he looked back, he saw this horde of boys running down the drive. Tear him apart. Giddy up. And he struck the horses, and the front wheel came off. And now he's dragging it on the axle. He looked back, and he said, giddy up. And the horse was pulling the buggy on the axles. And finally, he just made it in time out on the main road. As he looked back, the boy stopped. Hugo yelled at him. He said, it's a good thing. He says, you made it. And then they all started laughing. As they walked back to the school, the headmaster was standing there. He says, boys, I don't know what to say, what to tell you, and Mr. Woodworth. He said, but we're going to have a big celebration. He says, we won't have school today or tomorrow. And he says, and then we're going to have a big surprise. He said, by the time you go home, by the end of the week, he says, I think we're going to have a real big surprise for you. And I want to thank especially Skeeter and Hugo and, of course, Mr. Woodward. He said, without them, the school would have never been saved. So the next few days, the boys didn't do much of anything but celebrate. They had a big party in the auditorium, in the gym, with everything free. No more blood, no more worms. It was all good food this time. And finally, the day before they were going to all leave, the headmaster had an announcement on the board that all boys were to meet out in front of Dormitory A. And everybody wondered, what? And finally, when all the boys met out in front of Dormitory A, there was something covered with a sheet. And Mr. Woodward and some of the other teachers and the headmaster were out there. And he says, boys, we talked to you about a surprise. And the teachers have concluded, and some of the boys, thought that this would be the best tribute we could pay to anybody. So we have a little surprise for you. Under the sheet, we have something that we want to dedicate to the school. Mr. Woodward, will you pull the sheet? Mr. Woodward pulled the sheet off, and there was a bronze statue in the very image of Skeeter Hoyt. Everybody looked at each other and said, "Skeeter Hoyt!" He said, "It's me!" He said, "What for?" He said, "Skeeter, don't be so modest." He said, "If it hadn't been for you finding the ore, the school would never be here today." He says, "We owe everything to you." He said, "Oh, no, you don't." He said, if I wouldn't have been foolish enough to go fishing and Hugo Barnes hadn't have saved me," he said, "you wouldn't have it either." And he said, "Well, that's right, that's right." One of the boys piped up. He said, "Yeah, and if Mr. Woodward hadn't ridden like the wind," he says, "to Rim City," he said, "we wouldn't have had it either." He said, "Well, that's all true." He said, "But we couldn't put a statue to everybody. So a committee of the boys and myself, we decided that we'd make it of you as a tribute to all of you." Oh. Skeeter went up and touched it. He said, "You know, I didn't know I was that handsome." He said, "Only one thing worries me, Mr. Woodward." He said, "What's that, Skeeter?" He said, "In the wintertime, would you mind putting on a coat on me out here?" He said, "I'd be awful chilly." And the boys all laughed. He said, "Well, if it'll make you happier," he says, "we'll put a coat on the statue in the wintertime." Mr. Woodward told Skeeter, he said, "Well, if it'll make you feel better," he said, "you boys understand now that this is not a bronze statue. This is just merely made out of clay. And it will take months before we can get this cast in bronze. In fact, if possible, I would like to have it cast in copper." And he reiterated to the boys, he said, "Now this represents all boys. We had to pick out one boy to resemble. And then this includes all of you from all dormitories." And that concludes the ceremonies. And as the boys began to depart for their dormitories, the headmaster stood there, and it was surprising how many boys finally went up and shook hands with him. Even Hugo Barnes did. And as Hugo Barnes shook hands with the headmaster, he said, "I'm sorry for all the things I've done." He said, "Don't be sorry at all, Hugo, for the things that you have done that were right far outweigh the ones that you have done wrong." He said, "Anyone that would give his own life to save that life of a friend like you did," he says, "has a lot of good in him, a lot of good in him."
"Yeah, that's right, that's right."
The headmaster looked at Horace. He says, yeah, some of us have some good in us.
"Well, there's a lot of good in me."
"Yes, I know, Horace." He says, "You're going to have to look for it."
"What do you mean?"
Then he smiled. He said, "I was just joking, Horace." Hugo looked over at him. He said, "Can't you take a joke?"
He says, "Sure I can take a joke."
Hugo looked at him. He says, "Come on." They went back to their room. They began to unpack a few of the things because they were going to leave anyway by the middle of the next week. And Skeeter began to unload some of his stuff. He said, "Good." He said, "This is going to be fun." He said, "Very little work, lots of play, and nothing to do." Jackie sat down on the bed. He said, "You know, I'm going to miss this place." He said, "But I haven't thought about the ranch for a long time." He said, "I wonder what Ritz is doing." And he said, "Rainbow, or Patches." And of course, Nancy. He said, "Yeah, that's what I wonder. Oh," he said, "I wonder what Dolores, poor, poor Dolores." I said, "Who's Dolores?" "She's the one who has the mother that's big and she fell on me and flattened me." "Oh, yeah, I remember, yeah." He said, "And when I was dancing, something hit us and I flew in the cake." "Oh, yeah, I remember that." He said, "Oh." He said, "I wish I had one of those cakes now." He says, "Yeah, and Chinky," he said, "Oh, I'll be glad to see Chinky and the way he cooks." He said, "You know, I'm going to be glad to get home." And finally, there was a knock at the door. And Skeeter, as usual, "Come in if your nose is clean." It was Bowie and Brandface and Mike and John and some of the other boys from the dormitory, and they came in. said, well, we're just going around from dormitory to dormitory saying goodbye. He said, we probably won't get to see you anymore. He says, nice seeing you. Keith said, where are you, all you guys going together? The boy says, sure. So you want to join us? He says, yeah. Could I come too, said Jackie? He says, sure.
Me go too.
He says, sure, come on. So the whole bunch of them went over to dormitory B. They started down the hall and knocked at all the doors. They met Sean and Rex and Joe and said goodbye to him. He said, hey, Joey. He said, what are you going to do this summer? Said, oh, probably go home for the summer. He said, yeah, me too. He said, you're going to come back next year? Not if I can help it. He said, what's wrong? Don't you like it here? He said, yeah, but I have to work too much. He said, don't you know that work makes a man out of you? He looked down at Skeeter. He says, that's what happened to you? He said, how dare you talk to me like that? He said, I worked my fool head off. Joe looked up. He says, yeah, I wondered why it was missing. Now, there you look. I said, you cut that out. Jackie laughed. He said, I guess you got put in your place, Skeeter. He says, come on. He said, we got to say goodbye. He said, to all the rest of the boys. They went across the campus to dormitory G, and there they found Tim H and Larry and Tim Moore and Gary and Randy and all of them up in the second floor. Randy and Tim Moore were in 227. Ski said, hey, look, 227. He said, I know who's in there. He said, that big guy. I said, what big guy? He said, that guy that's always picking on me. Jack, he said, I said, I didn't know there was any big guy in there picking on you. He said, well, he tries to. He gives me that evil eye every time he looks at me. He said, gives me the willies. Oh, Brandface pounded on the door. Hey, anybody in there? They heard a voice says, no, there's no one in here at all. He said, see, I told you they're not home. He said, Skeeter, why would they say? He said, hey, there is someone in there. They opened the door and the boys were packing. Jackie looked up. He said, hey, we're just saying goodbye. He says, have a happy summer. He says, yeah, same to you. Skeeter looked over at Randy, and Randy looked at Skeeter. He said, hey, kid. Skeeter said, my name's not Kid. He said, that's a goat. He said, hey, goat, come here. He looked at Jackie. He said, see what I mean? He said, always picking on me. Just picky, 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 picky. He looked up at Randy, he said, you are bigger than I is. But I'll tell you one thing, he said, you start picking on me, and he said, you're gonna pick too much. Jackie looked at him, Skeeter, come on. He said, you're a troublemaker today. He said, yeah. He said, today's my day to make trouble. Randy looked at him, he said, you know, that's strange, that's my day too. Jackie looked at him, he says, yeah, I can see that. He said, I think every day's trouble for you, isn't it? He said, all right, you guys, trying to get smart, huh? And finally, Bowie looked up. He said, we're not trying to get smart. We're already smart. Jackie says, let's get going. Come on. And finally, Randy says, hey. He said, where are you guys going? He said, wouldn't you like to know? He said, that's why I'm asking. He said, well, we're going to say goodbye to the rest of the guys. So can we join you? Sure, come on. So they went pounding on all the doors, saying goodbye to everybody, and finally, they got all the way back to their rooms. Skeeter and Jackie and Mogai threw themselves on the beds. Whew. He said, I'm glad that's over with. And finally, they all kind of looked at each other, and they were thinking the same thing. He said, Jackie, I can tell you what you're thinking. He said, I bet I can tell you what you're thinking. Mogai says, I tell what both thinking. He says, well, all right. He says, let's find out. He said, well, let's play fingers. So they all put their right hand behind their back, doubled up their fist. Ski said, one, two, three. And they all came forward with their so many fingers stuck out. And sure enough, each one had two fingers out. He says, see, that's a sign. He said, now, watch. He said, we're thinking the same thing. Skeeter spit on the palm of his hand and took his fist and plopped into it. He said, there, the big spit went that way. That's to the northwest. said, am I on the right track? He said, that's right. Jack, he said, well, it's no use playing around. He said, I was thinking of going down saying goodbye to Mr. Woodworth. He said, exactly. Mogai, me too, me too. He says, come on. They went down the hall and knocked at the door. Come in. Oh, boys, come in, come in, sit down. Keeter looked up at him. He said, Mr. Woodworth, we're going to be leaving in a day or so, and I just want to say thank you for everything. I said, well, don't thank me. He said, I should be thanking you. Oh, no, Mr. Woodward. He said, without you, he said, there wouldn't be a school, and he said, I'd be just a dumbbell. He says, oh, I don't think so. He said, I wouldn't have learned anything if it hadn't been for you. Jackie looked at Skeeter. He said, well, Mr. Woodward, I want to thank you, too. And he said, I've learned a lot. Mo guy said, me learn a lot, too. Many strange ways of pale faces. Many strange ways. Mr. Woodward laughed. He said, well, everything that you saw, he said, you don't want to believe. He says, me learn how white man eat worms and drink blood. He said, that's what I mean. He said, that was just for fun. Me no can tell whether fun or whether real. He said, well, then you better ask Jackie. He knows. Skeeter laughed. Yeah, he said, he knows. He's got a big nose. I said, Skeeter, would you cut that out? He said, what's wrong with you? He said, I don't know. He said, I guess I got sticky toes. Sticky toes? What's that got to do with it? He said, I don't know, but it sounds nice. He said, you're going to have a sticky something in a minute if you don't cut it out. I said, uh-oh. Mr. Woodward sat down laughing. He said, you know, boys, it's going to be awful dull around here without you. He said, Skeeter, you don't know that I know all the things that have been going on. He said, do you remember the time that you saw some glue up in your closet? Uh-oh. And you poured it into somebody's shoes? Uh-oh. And that person couldn't get his shoes off? Uh-oh. And he fell out the window? Uh-oh, boom. He said, I sure do. So how did you know that? He says, well, you see, I was reading right over there by that window. And as I was reading, very quietly and relaxed, all of a sudden I look towards the window and here comes a body crashing down into the bushes. I looked out the window and wondered if it's raining bodies. He said, that was Hugo. He says, you're telling me. He said, yeah, I just did. He said, I went to investigate and I asked Hugo what happened. He said, he didn't squeal on you, Skeeter. He just told me that there was a little accident and he fell out the window. I told him, he said, he better not be that clumsy next time. Finally, the boys left and went upstairs. The next day, Skeeter went out to the horse barn and began to say goodbye to his favorite horses, his favorite chickens, his favorite cows, his favorite pigeons on the roof. He said, goodbye, Pidgeys. See you again sometime. He finally went to anybody he could see. In fact, Skeeter or Jackie caught him once saying goodbye to the big oak tree in the middle of the campus. He said, goodbye, big oak tree. He said, someday I shall be as strong as you are. He said, and someday, Jackie sneaked up behind me and says, yeah, and someday, he says, you're going to be an acorn. Yeah, cut it out, Jackie. He says, come on. He says, we're packing. The next day they were to leave. And finally, after they had breakfast, it was rather a sad morning. The boys didn't say much. And finally, there was a man at the door. He says, Sam's here. He says, those going west better get out there. Skeeter, Jackie, Mo guy stood up, looked around at the rest of the boys. Some of them were already gone. Mr. Woodward got up. Well, goodbye, everybody. Jackie said, I guess this is where I... He said, I guess I get something in my eye. He says, goodbye. Mo guy sniffled. We got lots of stuff in my eye. He said, goodbye. They started to run towards the door. Skeeter turned around. Goodbye, everybody! The boy said, goodbye, Skeeter. And Skeeter ran upstairs to get his luggage and all his junk. So did Jackie. And pretty soon, as they loaded it up into the buckboard, they saw Hugo Barnes and Horace and Mr. Woodward and all the boys looking out the window. Sam looked back. He said, boys, are you ready? Jackie looked at Sam. No, Sam, we're not ready. He said, well, get what you need. Let's go. Oh, he said, we're ready to go. But I'm not really ready to go.
He said, neither am I. He said, but we have to.
He said, well, then we better get going. He turned the buckboard around, headed down the drive to the road. Skeeter looked back once more and saw Mr. Woodward, Hugo, and Horace, all of them waving. Skeeter turned his head. He said, I don't think I'm going to look back anymore. As the boys headed into Culver City, they were thinking about what happened the first time they came to the school. And finally, when he got into town, Sam helped him with their luggage. The stagecoach should be here, he said, in a few minutes. He said, I expected it waiting for you, but he said, it must be a little bit late. He unloaded the luggage, said goodbye to the boys, and went back to the stables. It was very short time when the stagecoach arrived. He says, all right, boys, we're late. Throw them up on top, get in, let's go. So in a few minutes, they loaded their luggage, jumped into the stagecoach, and they were off. Jackie began to think back to the ranch, so did Skeeter, but they weren't saying anything, but they wondered what it would be like. Is it still there? It seemed like it was years and years since they left, and it was only a few months. Finally, when they got to the big steep hill from the other side, the stagecoach began to slow down, and finally when they got to the top of the hill, as usual, the driver stopped the coach to rest the horses. Jackie and Skeeter and Mogai got out. He said, where's the Indian feathers? He looked around, and all of a sudden, down a side trail, they saw Mogai's father coming up with his warriors. He drove all the way up to the top of the hill, stopped, got off his horse, walked over to Jackie, put his hand on his shoulder. I appreciate very much what you do for my son, blood brother. He said, well, I don't know whether we taught him anything. He said, but we had a lot of fun. We have fun. I tell you many strange things, father. He says, many strange things? He says, yes. He says, pale faces eat worms, drink blood. Skeeter and Jackie laughed. He said, that was just an initiation. That was for fun. Mogai looked at him. He says, me no. I learned that. So finally, they thanked Jackie and Skeeter, and as the stage driver looked down, getting very impatient because they were behind time, Jackie looked at Mogai, shook his hand. He says, Mogai, if you get some time this summer, you come see us. You come see us, too. He says, we have plenty of fun. He says, but not like little pale faces at school, like big pale face with fire in hair. He said, yeah, that old big old lug. He said, you know, I'm going to get lonesome for him. The chief nodded to Mogai that brought his horse along. He got on the horse, and in a few minutes, the boys were back in the stagecoach heading for their own hometown. Jackie and Skeeter got very impatient as they began to get closer and closer and closer. And finally, the next day, it was almost sunset when they pulled into Skeleton Gulch. They pulled up to the depot. The driver let the luggage down. The boys caught it. Jackie looked around. He said, I wonder where Tom is. Several of the people who were in town shopping and walking down the boardwalks yelled at them and says, well, welcome back, boys. He says, thank you. He says, have you seen Tom? He says, by the way, he just went over to the office. He says, come on, Skeeter. And they ran across the dirt street over to the sheriff's office, broke into the door, barged in. Surprise, surprise. Tom was just had his back turned. He turned around. He says, Jackie, Skeeter. And they began to jump up and down with glee around Tom. He said, did we surprise you really? He says, you sure did. He said, I didn't expect you yet. He said, well, we came a little early. He said, the stagecoach was late. Tom looked at both of them. He says, kind of a long 2 weeks, wasn't it, Jackie? Yeah, it sure was. He said, I guess we stretched him a little bit. He said, yeah. And he said, you know something, Tom? He said, I shouldn't tell you this. I says, what? He said, I cried a little bit when we left.
You didn't?
Yeah, I really did, Tom. He said, that's not like me, is it? He said, no, it isn't. No, it isn't. He said, you must have made some real friends. Tom, you should see this guy, he said, with the red hair, Hugo Barnes. You ought to see him, Tom. He said, he might even beat you up. He's tough.
Oh, really?
He said, well, you got some pretty big kids there. He said, he wasn't that bad, though, really. Jack, he said, let's not stand here and talk. He says, I want to get out to the ranch. He says, well, come on. He says, I'll get a buckboard at the stables. He said, I'll take you home right now. So in a few minutes, Tom went over to the stables, got a buckboard. He said, hey, Tom, what do you want a buckboard for? Going after some robbers? He says, no. He said, I've got a couple of them waiting for me. He says, you got a couple of robbers waiting for you? He said, I didn't know robbers waited. He said, no, it's the boys are back. Oh, yes, he said, I've heard about that. He said, things are going to liven up again, aren't they? He said, I'm afraid so. I'm afraid so. Tom pulled in front of the sheriff's office. He says, all right, boys, jump in. He started to leave. He said, the luggage, Tom. Oh, yeah, okay. He turned around, went over the depot. It was still on the boardwalks. They loaded up the luggage and headed for home as fast as they could go. Finally, when they pulled into the drive, some of the cowhands spotted Jackie and Skeeter, and they rushed up. He says, welcome home, boys. Jackie jumped down and looked around, and he was looking for Ritzy. Finally, he says, Ritzy? Ritzy had been asleep under the big shade tree over by the frog pond. And when he heard his name by that very familiar voice that he hadn't heard for a long time, he jumped up and came running as fast as he could go right by Skeeter and spun him around and knocked him over and jumped way up on Jackie. And Jackie says, hi there, Ritzy. He said, it's been a long time. Skeeter got up. He said, you don't have to knock me over. And finally, he got up and went over and began to lick Skeeter's face. He said, that's enough. That's enough. That's enough. Let's go see the horses. They ran over to the stable, and there was, of course, Patches. And Patches' ears went straight up because she hadn't seen Jackie for a long time. And finally, they heard someone on the porch. Land sakes alive, is that you boys back? Tom laughed. He said, doesn't it sound like it? Sure does. It sure does. Jackie rushed up. She put her arms around him and gave him a big kiss. Welcome home, Jackie. She grabbed Skeeter. Ah! He says, don't you want to be kissed? Well, okay, by you. He said, because you're one of my favorite friends. Well, thank you, Skeeter. And finally, as Jackie looked past Nancy's mother, he saw Nancy standing in the doorway. She looked at him and fluttered her eyelashes. Hello, Jackie. Jackie looked over. Hi, 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 Nancy. Welcome home, and thank you. She says, come on in. Chinky rushed out of the kitchen. Ah, me valley, valley happy. Me chop, 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 chop. He said, he's always chopping the place up. He said, Jackie, you're not going to have a thing left when he gets through chopping. He said, that doesn't mean you chop it. That means he's going to get busy and make us some drinks or some cookies or something nice. Oh, I didn't know that. He said, well, you know it now. That evening at supper time, Chinky did fix a very special supper, not like at school. They had all they could eat, and they didn't have to go through all the formalities. In fact, they talked with their mouth full until Tom finally looked. He said, didn't they teach you any manners at the school? He said, yeah, but we left them all back there. He said, we didn't like to take them with us. Tom looked at him. He says, well, I know that they didn't teach you to talk with your mouth full. He said, but we got to get caught up. Jack said, that's right, Tom. They did tell us. He says, I'd like to show you someday what they taught us. And I want to thank you, Tom, he said, for sending me. He said, if it hadn't been for you, Tom, I'd have stayed around here. You know, I'd just been a dumbbell. He said, nothing but an old dumbbell. He said, yeah, hi there, dumbbell. He said, Skeeter, cut it out. He said, what did you learn, Skeeter? Oh, he said, I learned a lot of things, like pouring glue in people's shoes. He said, I bet that school is glad you left. He said, yeah. He said, oh, Tom, I forgot to tell you. You know what? You know what? He says, what? He said, I'm going to have a bronze statue in front of the lawn in dormitory A. Nancy says, ha, ha, ha. I bet that's true. I bet that's true. What did you say? She said, I bet that's true. Oh. That's right. Skeeter's going to have a bronze statue of himself in front of Dormitory A. Said, what for? The meanest kid at the school? Said, no, really, Tom. He said, he saved the school. Really, he did. He found some copper ore. Oh, it's a long story. He'll tell you about it later. So after supper, they sat in the parlor, and the boys told the stories of the school over and over and over and over and all the details. Sometimes they'd laugh how they caught Hugo and Horse in the trap stealing cake and about the saving of his life in the river. And finally, it was late, and the boys went to bed. The next day, the boys spent hours riding around on the range, going up to the dam, going to the frog pond, and getting caught up on meeting friends they'd almost forgotten about and so forth. And finally, as the days turned into weeks, things began to get dull again. Skeeter would come over. Yoo-hoo! Jackie would be eating breakfast. He says, come on in. He said, what are we going to do today? He said, oh, I don't know. He said, I guess I'll go out with Tom, mend some fences. He said, oh, that's no fun fixing fences all the time. He said, well, somebody's got to do it. He said, Jackie, I'm going to go home if you're going to do that. So long, Skeeter. I guess I'll go with you. He said, that's what I thought. It was one afternoon, about a week later, Tom came home for lunch, which was rather unusual. He usually ate in town. Mrs. Miller and Mr. Miller both looked at Tom, and they knew he was bothered by something. And finally, Mrs. Miller says, all right, Tom, you don't have to hide it anymore. We know what's bothering you. He said, does it show? It sure does. He says, now, come on, you have some problems, and we need to know about it. That's right, Tom, said Jackie. He says, if you have a problem, it's my problem, too. He says, you know, we share and share alike. He says, all right. You're going to have to know sooner or later. He pulled out a letter. So this letter is from Prince Ahmed. Who? This Prince Ahmed, you remember the Palomino ponies? Oh, yeah, that Prince Ahmed guy. Yes, I remember. With the big ruby in his turban. Yes. It seems to me, according to his letter, he's in desperate trouble. There's a man by the name of Yakara, the worst cutthroat of the desert, has been attacking his people, taking his land, and has his back up against the wall. He's asking me to come and help. He said, of course we'll go, Tom. Jackie looked at him. He said, sure, Tom, we'll go. No, no. He said, he asked me. And Jackie and Skeeter, forget it. You're not going. I wouldn't let you go. You see, this isn't going to be a very easy mission if I decide to go. He said, I decided against it until I read the last line. He says, dear Tom, I may be asking you for your life, but you're the last friend I can turn to. Will you come? He's asking you for your life? He said, it's that bad. Jackie looked frightened. He says, Tom, you're not going to go. You're not going to give your life. He said, it doesn't say that I have to. It means that it's something quite serious. Skeeter looked at Tom. You think you could face that Yakari fellow and beat him up, Tom? Tom laughed. He said, it's not a matter of finding Yakari and beating him up. He said, he's got men. He's got armies. He says, I don't know what Prince Ahmed has in mind. But he mentioned something in the letter about the tomb of Mohaba. There was deadly silence. Tomb of Mohaba? Mr. Miller looked frightened. Tom, do you know the tomb of Mohaba? Do you know the story about that? He says, well, yes, a little bit. He said, let me tell you about it. I happen to know something about that. You know, they buried all the jewels and the gold and the silver with their kings. He was a king. And anyone that ever entered the tomb met violent death. He says, you don't suppose that Prince Ahmed... Oh, no, he couldn't. He certainly wouldn't be asking you to go to enter the tomb of... Oh, he said, I wouldn't go, Tom, if that's it. He says, what do you mean that anyone that entered the tomb met a violent death? He says, just that. Many of them have, and every one of them have met a violent death. Mr. Miller explained what he knew about the curse of Mahaba. And finally, Mrs. Miller was so shocked, she says, is this true? Mr. Miller looked at her, said, as far as I know, it's true. Tom kind of smiled. Well, I don't think my going over there has anything to do with Mahaba or the curse. Said, I wouldn't be so sure. He says, when he asked you to give his life, if necessary, said, what else would you be doing? Skeeter looked up. He said, he could be fighting that Yakari guy. He says, well, everybody looked at Tom. What are you going to do, Tom? Well, I haven't decided yet. He said, but I'll let you know this evening. Tom did a lot of thinking as he was mending the fences over on the North Range. Jackie was with him, and he'd watch Tom every so often. And many times he was ready to ask, Tom, have you made up your mind? You're not going, are you? Not really. But he knew that he had to let Tom make up his own mind. It was at the supper table that Tom looked at all the boys and Mr. Miller and Nancy. And there was a faraway look in his eyes. Skeeter noticed it too. Jackie almost knew what Tom was going to say. Mr. Miller was the first one who asked, well, Tom, we're all waiting. He says, I knew that. He says, well, I've made up my mind. He says, just like anyone else, if one of your friends asked you to do him a favor, what would you do? He said, I wouldn't go in that Yakari fella and the Mojave curse and all that kind of stuff. He said, I don't like curses on me. Tom just smiled. I've made up my mind. I'm going. I'll be leaving the first thing in the morning. Mrs. Miller almost put her hand over her mouth. She almost screamed, oh no, Tom! He said, I have to. He says, what kind of a friend would I be to myself if I wouldn't help a friend? He said, I couldn't even look in the mirror and face myself. He said, I have to go. But you may never come back. That's true. He said, but I still have to go. He said, Tom, I'm going with you. No. I'll go with you, said Tom, Jackie. No, not you either, Jackie. He said, I don't need either one of you. This is for me and me only. Mrs. Miller, if you'll get some things packed for me, he said, I'd like to have that big trunk and put in some clothes, and I'll have some of my personal belongings. He said, I'm going to have to take just about everything. So the boys and all of them began to put things together. Mrs. Miller was ironing some last-minute shirts for Tom. And finally, as they closed the lid on the big trunk, plus a few other pieces, Jackie looked at Tom, knowing that this might be the last time he would ever see him. Tom, he says, could we go into town with you? Well, he's sure you can, Jackie. He said, I'm going to take the stagecoach, and he says, then I'll go to the coast, and I'll get the fastest boat I can find, the quickest one and fastest. Well, we're going to go to town with you. Finally, they got loaded on the buckboard. The men said goodbye to Tom, because many of them thought that maybe they would never see him again. The buckboard turned around. Even Chinky came out and waved. Jackie and the boys and Mr. Miller headed into town. When they got there, the stagecoach was waiting. We're waiting for you, Tom. We heard all about it. He said, one of your men came in and said you were leaving. He said, that's right. He said, give me a hand with the trunk. They lifted the trunk way up on the top. Jackie and Skeeter just stood there. Says, Tom, my boys, goodbye. Says, Jackie. Said, I'll see you again. I just have a feeling I will. But you may not, Tom. Says, Tom, I want one more. Could we go to the coast with you? He said, I love boats. He said, then we can come back. Oh, I know, Jackie. He said, that's too much responsibility. Fred, who had come in town with the buckboard with him, he says, Tom, he said, if if you want me to go along, he said, I'll bring them back. He nodded to Tom and whispered, Tom, the least you can do for Jackie, he said, if you should never come back, is at least let him go that far. All right, okay. Says, to the coast, and then Fred will get you back. He says, run and get passage. He says, make it three more. In a few minutes, Fred came out. They got in the stagecoach, and they headed out of town. Jackie and Skeeter were especially happy because they got to go to the coast, and Jackie loved boats. They traveled most of the day, stopped at small way stations for lunch. It was hot and dusty, and sometimes Jackie wondered if it was worth it, but he knew that he had to go as far as he could with Tom. Finally, when they got to the little village on the coast, they pulled up in front of the stagecoach. They set the light.